Hello again. We're continuing our studies in the Beatitudes, and today we're up to Blessed are the Peacemakers. Matthew 5 and verse 9 says this: Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. What does it mean to be a peacemaker? Well, a peacemaker is someone who works to reconcile people with God and with one another. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and peacemaking requires taking the initiative to getting involved in conflicts with the intention of building bridges between people and God and people themselves, between one another. I've been reading a book by Andrew White. He spent a large part of his life peacemaking in the Middle East. And it's a grand little book, and it's just got, if you're not a book reader, this is an ideal book, because it's got little daily or weekly sessions with two or three pages and what he's learned from that experience. And he's a great man who was called to be a peacemaker for God in the Middle East. Worth a read. Most of us will never be peacemaking on that kind of level with kings and leaders of countries. But Jesus tells us nonetheless that we are blessed if we are peacemakers in this world. Over 30 years ago, and you know all most of my stories, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. Over 30 years ago, the Lord asked me to invite two couples in our street in to get to know them better. They live next door and next door but one. And I thought, right, I don't mind doing that. I quite like entertaining. So I invited first the next door couple, and they were really enthusiastic, and it was lovely, you know, the response. They said, that'll be absolutely fab. And then I asked the other couple, and it was the lady I spoke to, and she said, oh, and she was really hesitant. But she said, can I let you know in a couple of days? And I said, yeah, that's fine. And I thought, Lord, have I got it wrong? Did I pick the wrong couple? And anyway, a couple of days later, she came back to me and she said, yes, we will come. She said, but the reason I was hesitant is because we're getting divorced. And she said, we're both with solicitors. And I said, I'm really sorry to hear that. Anyway, the night came and went, and it was really nice. But, you know, I had this little book on my bookshelf, and I can't remember how many steps. I think it was 10. 10 Steps to a Happy Marriage by Selwyn Hughes. And I felt the Lord say to me, take it to them. I thought, they might think I'm an interfering old bag. But I thought, well, I feel that's what God's saying, so I'm going to do it. And so I went along and just gave them the book. Anyway, several weeks later, she came back to me, and she said, we really enjoyed reading the book, and we've called off the solicitors. And now, over 30 years later, they're still together, and I'm so blessed to have been part of just God's message to them at that time. So it's a great privilege to be allowed into people's lives to make a difference for good. And as Jesus says, it's a great blessing. Blessed are those. But to be a peacemaker, you know, there are certain requirements. You need to be at peace. You need to be at peace yourself. You need to be at peace with God, reconciled to him. It says this in Colossians 1, verse 19. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. How can you share the benefits of being a child of God with others if you've never experienced it yourself? We not only need to have come to that peace with God in our own lives, but that that chapter goes on to say we need to live in it. Verse 23, you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. So we walk in harmony with him, no matter our circumstances. We have that ability to be at peace with God, and it speaks volumes to those around and gives tribute to God for the way we live, because we are we have that peace from him, and so we need to keep on walking in it. So you need to be at peace with God if you're going to be a peacemaker, but you also need to be at peace with others. If you're at odds with others in your life, how can you possibly help to build bridges in other people's lives who are at odds with one another? It's hypocritical, but it's also sinful. It says this in Hebrews 12:14. In every relationship, be swift to choose peace over competition and run swiftly toward holiness, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. That's the Passion Translation. The New International Version says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. And so we've got this command to live in peace with everyone, to be swift to choose peace over competition. And peace doesn't come to us with no effort. We have to put the effort in. If we want peace, we can't be argumentative and contentious. Peaceful relationships come from our own efforts at peacemaking. Over the years, I've done loads of counselling. I did training with Selwyn Hughes, and I've done marriage counselling at all. And I've sat and listened to Christians arguing over the most ridiculously petty things. I've been there myself. How many of us haven't at some point in our lives, you know, caused problems because we've argued over stuff that's petty? Not in my marriage. You couldn't argue with Eddie. He was never an arguer. He would just sit and listen to me rant. And then at the end of it all, he'd say, would you like a cup of coffee? So it was a waste of time. But in leadership, I've been in leadership since I was 26. And I've been, you know, seen what division can do in leadership. And way in the past, you know, I was involved in some of that kind of stuff where there was discord and not peace. And there was a peacemaker among us who wanted to get us together to sort it out. And, you know, I've told you all of this already in past sermons. I was convinced I was right. And I had my arguments all ready. But, you know, on the night before this meeting we were going to have, the Lord spoke to me so clearly. Don't sacrifice relationship on the altar of being in the right. How many Christians have done just that? They're argumentative and contentious and have sacrificed relationship. They've forgotten God's words and his command to, in every relationship, be swift to choose peace over competition. And I nearly forgot too. Praise God for the peacemaker who came and got involved and for the word from God. So if you and I are going to be peacemaker, you need to declare war on the enemy. You need to declare war because it's him who wants to separate you from God. It's him who wants to break up families and break up relationships. That is his technique. And we need to declare war on that. We need to be aware of it. He wants to stop you from hearing from God, and he wants to stop others from hearing from God too. But it says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that you know real well. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. He wanted us to be peacemakers. We were separated from God. Where would we be if Christ hadn't been a peacemaker for us? Because we were separated from God and without hope in the world because of our sinful nature. Until Jesus answered God's call to be a peacemaker, a reconciler of us to God. And to do it, he held nothing back. And that's the amazing thing. He held not even his own life back. He gave his life that we might be made right with God, that we might experience a full, abundant life, peace with God. He didn't look and say, they don't deserve it, I'm not going to do it. He didn't sacrifice our relationship with God because he and the Father were in the right and we were in the wrong. He came. How many are waiting in this world today, in our area, in our families, in our streets? Are they waiting until we answer the call to be a peacemaker? Don't hamstring yourself in the work of peacemaking by being at odds with others. Then a couple of tips for being a peacemaker. I'm not going to tell you today anything you don't already know. I'm reminding you afresh because God wants you to remember. These tips are obvious and they're things you know. Number one, if you're going to be a peacemaker, be sensitive to the move of the Spirit. When he prompts you to step out in faith, to speak into somebody's situation, do it. I was hesitant about taking that book to that couple in my street. I didn't feel I knew them well enough and I felt it was like an intrusion. But the Spirit said go, and so I did. And I am so glad that I did. So be sensitive to the move of the Spirit. Secondly, if you're helping people to make peace with God, share how much God loves them. Share what he's done for you in your life. Your testimony is powerful and nobody can take it from you. Avoid telling them they're going to hell. We know that is the consequences of sin. But let them know that Jesus died so they don't have to. It's funny, Jesus reserved the arguments about hell and about going to hell for the religious leaders more than for those who didn't know him. In Matthew 23:33, he talks about the religious leaders like this. He says, snakes, son of vipers, how will you escape the judgment of hell? And so let people know just how much God loves them. Just share with them something of what God has done for you to begin to interest them in something higher than themselves. And thirdly, if you're helping people make peace with one another who are contentious and at odds, remember this. You know, you can be sitting listening to people who are really at odds with one another. And it's easy to get involved if you're not on your guard and to raise your voice. But Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. And we need to remember that. Or in the New Living Translation, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Be that soft voice in a tricky situation. And then fourthly, remember this, that attempts at peacemaking often fail. They often fail. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. You are responsible for your efforts and not for the efforts of others. There will always be people who insist on living in strife. You may be just the person that God is using to bring his opportunity to that person or to those people. He may be throwing them a lifeline through you, and it may be the only lifeline they get. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. If you're a person who walks in peace and brings God's peace to others, you're acting like Jesus. And God gives you the privilege of being called his sons and daughters. You're bearing his image. When people look at you, they will see something of the nature of God in you. And we're an example then for us, for others to follow. Are you bearing the family image where being at peace is concerned? You know, the Beatitudes that we've been looking at have various ways to understand them. They can be seen, if you like, as a code of ethics that Jesus was presenting to the disciples of the day, and also for those of us who would follow as his disciples later. They also contrast kingdom values, which are eternal, with worldly values, which are temporary. Whichever way you look at the Beatitudes, they're not multiple choice. It isn't a fact that you sit there and look and say, well, which ones will I have a go at? They need to be taken as a whole. They describe what we should look like as Christ's followers. So I want to ask you today, you're walking in peace with God. Have you declared war on the things that separate you from his peace, from fear, from wrong desires, from unforgiveness? In his book that I was mentioning before, this book by Andrew White, he was talking about one time in the Middle East. And it was the feast of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. And I think it's 10 days it lasts. And the second day is a day of real repentance, a real coming to God. Maybe it's a bit like what our Lent is supposed to be. But it's a time when they come before God and get rid of the rubbish, really, in their lives. And he says this: one of the joys of writing about forgiveness on this day of awe, part of Rosh Hashanah, here in Israel, is learning about the Jewish concept of forgiveness. I have learned that Rosh Hashanah is very much about us forgiving one another. So the children of Orthodox families go around saying sorry to their brothers and sisters and asking their friends to forgive them. Would it not be good if we could have a forgiveness day like that, when we too could walk around sharing forgiveness? In doing so, we too would find forgiveness and wholeness. In our daily family life, we are surrounded by brokenness and pain. If it's not in your home, it's probably within your wider family, or it's on your street, or it's in your workplace. Brokenness and pain, and it's often caused by unforgiveness. Forgiveness is about healing. It's about restoration, and it's about reconciliation. And he says, let's live forgiveness. So we need to walk in that peace, which means we are at peace with others. We need to learn to forgive. God has forgiven us and reconciled us to himself. We need to be reconciled to one another and walk in peace. Are you walking that way in peace? Have you got relationship issues with others? I believe the word of God to you today is sorted. Sorted. Let's live in peace in our own lives and be the peacemakers that God will use to bring reconciliation with himself and with others for the people that we are called to serve. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.